Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's a Thursday, June 27th, 2013. The excessive heat warning will kick in tomorrow. That means temperatures over 110, anywhere from about 112 to 100 and maybe 13 here in Tucson. And that excessive heat warning will be in effect until 9 o'clock on Monday evening. So it is going to be a scorcher. The hottest temperatures really in Tucson since the mid-90s when we had some really hot weather. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday. We are here noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. It is Tucson's intelligent voice, also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We make this very easy for you to listen to the program as we stream at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We podcast at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. All have our show available for you. During this noon hour, we'll spend the first 10 minutes or so with State Representative Ethan Orr, a Republican representing District 9. 20 minutes past the hour, a big win for Tucson International Airport and air travelers with the announcement today of nonstop service to Portland. That is good news indeed. And then our 30 minutes past the hour, our CEO interview series presented by Trio, and then we close out the show with attorney Don Luce, the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show, talking about the gay rights measure passing the Supreme Court, and then earlier this week, the voter measure that was Voting Rights Act struck down by the Supreme Court. So lots to talk about today during the noon hour. We invite you to join us at any time during the hour. Our Buckmaster Show live line now declared officially open at 790-2040. You can also follow us on Facebook page. We invite you to do so. Very easy to find us on Facebook. It's my name, basically, Bill Buckmaster, Buckmaster Show. Well, Ethan Orr won election to the House of Representatives in Arizona in November. He's a Republican in a Democratic-leaning district that includes the Catalina foothills, part of Midtown, and the Northwest Side. Mr. Orr sided with Governor Brewer's plan to expand Medicaid coverage to those who are within 138% of the federal poverty level and to return Medicaid coverage to childless adults fitting the income criteria. That proposal split the Republican Party as Ethan joined 8 House Republicans and all the Democrats to vote in favor of the plan. Ethan Orr with us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Ethan, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate
the opportunity. It's good to talk to you. Tim Steller, the columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, had a very interesting piece about you and the split in the Republican Party. The headline, Mr. Steller's column, was the two conservatives, or is Benedict Ethan? I'm sure it's no fun to be called a liar and a person who stabs others in the back by some of your Republican colleagues. How are you taking all this, Ethan, personally?
Well, you know, the one thing that I made up my mind, and I think others did going into the debate, and I hope I can continue that, is to simply stay above the fray. I actually respect people's passion on the issues, and I think we have a better policy discussion when you don't make it so personal. So I've made a personal commitment to do everything I can to focus on the policy, to focus on the ideas, and have a good conversation, and not engage in tit for tat, because I think the worst thing that can happen for Arizona is some people call me a traitor, then I call them a traitor, and it goes on and on. And what ends up being hurt is ultimately the people that live in Arizona.
What was your thinking, Ethan, in voting for the governor's proposal?
Well, I think really if you look at the sheer numbers, there was no other alternative. Our budget that includes the Medicaid expansion for the first time in over a decade is structurally balanced by 2016, and it cuts $81 million in spending. So it's actually a fiscally conservative budget that most of the people in the House, Democrats and Republicans, bipartisan budget supported. And if you looked at the alternative without the Medicaid restoration, it actually took our $450 million fund balance and took that to zero in a year and a half. And I think that is unacceptable. I mean, it's one thing to argue against the Medicaid restoration, but in my mind, if you're going to say no, you need to provide an alternative. You can't simply say no. And there was no alternative that didn't bankrupt the state.
How did this work out this session for you as from a personal point of view, your first session as a freshman lawmaker, obviously very emotional at the end, but did you accomplish what you feel you set out to do, Ethan Orr?
Yes, I did. I feel very good about this session. One of the bills that we passed at the end that I'd worked very hard on and I'd actually campaigned on was supporting our JTED, our Joint Technological Education District. That was extraordinarily important to them. It makes it much easier for them to create educational partnerships with business like Freeport-McMoRan to really train students. And there's some other things like embedded credits that I want to start doing in terms of education. I was able to resolve a longstanding dispute between Pima Community College and Santa Cruz County, and I got the mental health first aid program that I worked with my Democratic seatmate on that would actually really start to address some of the problems with community violence in our city. So I feel extremely gratified about this session, and I'm very honored to have had the chance to do it.
You work as the executive director of an organization, a local agency called Linkages, that helps disabled people get jobs. Was there some action in this legislative session that will help those people?
You know, there was. And there were some good tax cuts that I think will spur economic development. But also, if you look at the programs that we funded adult education. We increased funding for K-12. We increased funding again for the JTEDs. And then also, we did some regulatory and, again, some tax changes that will make it much easier to recruit businesses to our state. So I think anything that produces more jobs will certainly help make it easier for people to get jobs. And then also, I was able to get some increases for areas that serve people with disabilities and people with mental illness.
Ethan Orr is with us on the Buckmaster Show, Republican state representative from District 9. Getting back to this particular session and what's been going on and the attacks against you, your seatmate, Democrat Representative Victoria Steele, has said perhaps you would be I think a lot of Democrats would welcome you to cross the aisle and become a Democrat. Your district leans to the left. There are about 37% of the district are registered Democrats, 33% Republicans, and 30% independents. Is that something, Ethan, that you might consider switching parties?
At this point, no. And I will say I have the utmost respect for Representative Victoria Steele. I think she is a huge asset to our community, and the two of us have worked phenomenally well together, and I hope that we can continue that. I actually think our community is best served when we have representation in both parties, both the majority and the minority party, because we're able to work across aisles. And Tucson has a tradition of working across the aisle to solve problems. And so I hope, regardless of what party I'm in and regardless of whether or not I even get reelected, I hope to continue to work with Victoria Steele because I have so much respect for her.
You know, when you look at this session, the Arizona Republic, Ethan Orr, as you know, gave this session really good marks, the A-plus they gave on the Medicaid expansion, the budget got a B, Medicaid reform got an A, Child Protective Services an A-minus, bipartisanship a B, election reform got a grade of B, sales tax reform an A-minus, and education funding a B. Talking about education funding, to us in Tucson, of course, we're worried not only about the elementary school and high school level, but we're worried about the University of Arizona. How did the U of A make out in all of this?
Extremely well. One of the things that I was able to do, and it turned out to be a very fortuitous session, when I first met President Hart to start the session, and Tim B. introduced me as your legislative delegation on the Republican side. She's like, really? You know? And so what what I very quickly did is I made strategic alliances around the state, basically showing Arizona or U of A is not Tucson's institution only, it's Arizona's institution. We support the state in terms of mining and agriculture and medical. And so we got everything we pretty much wanted. We got $5 million for performance money, which will allow President Hart to kind of shape the future of the school. And then we also got $8 million to finish up the medical school in Phoenix, which will help put more physicians in our hospitals.
What did you think about the election reform measures that passed right at the end of the session?
You know, I actually liked them. And there was some, originally, there, most of those components went through the Judiciary Committee, and so I vetted them very thoroughly. All 15 county recorders and elections officers and the Secretary of State really supported them because there were process changes. At the end, because of one change, two county recorders ended up not supporting the entire packet, but they still supported most of it. And I look at it, if I have 15 counties and 15 election officials all in behind something, I think it's a pretty good bill.
Let's see if we can work in a quick call here. Ethan, one of the Buckmaster Show listeners on the live line. I think, is it Joe? Go ahead, Joe. You're with Ethan Orr.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, good, Ethan. You know what? I commend the work you do in your personal life. It is so nice to see that and refreshing. That's real world stuff. Anybody want to get bummed out? Go start working with the disabled people and find futures for them in the workforce. Two,
thank you.
I think you have a formula that is going to lead your party out of these dark times. Your party is so irrelevant, I just can't say enough bad things about them. About it is as close to that as the Democratic Party, but less so. They're just more relevant. But, man, this fish is rotting from the head. I think Barack Obama is really a political chump.
Okay,
and,
Joe.
But anyways, you know what, Ethan Orr? I appreciate you, and I heard you take a smacking from Frank Antonori on the radio, and I couldn't wait to call you and give a hats off to your approach to politics, and thank you.
Okay.
Well, Joe, thank you. That is kind. And, you know, I think there's a great future for the Republican Party. I think there is a discussion on where it's going to go. But if you look at it, a lot of those deal with tactics, and I like to think, and I like to think for our state, for our party, and even the Democratic Party, we can be better. And that's kind of the theme that I know the nine of us that supported the Medicaid expansion adopted. We want to build something. We want to be better. And we want an Arizona that we can be very proud of.
Ethan Orr, thank you for spending some time with us. I know you're at the chamber luncheon right now, and thanks for stepping away to share some of your thoughts with our listeners. Important stuff. Thank you, Ethan.
Bill, thank you for your time. I appreciate again to be on your show.
Thanks a lot. Ethan Orr, State Representative, District 9. Next up, we'll talk about Alaska Airlines, a big announcement today. This is great news for air travelers in Tucson. That's coming up next on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 12:21 on this very warm Thursday afternoon. And good news today for Tucson air travelers. Good news for the Tucson economy. Alaska Airlines announcing it will begin new nonstop service between Tucson International Airport and Portland, Oregon, starting November 1st. We welcome to the Buckmaster Show live line Mary Davis. Mary is Senior Marketing Director for Tucson International Airport. Mary, how are you?
I'm great. I'm a little hoarse, so I hope it comes across okay. Sorry I couldn't be in the studio with you. I always love the opportunity to sit and chat with you about air service.
Well, I love to talk about air service, as you know. I'm a big air traveler, and I'm very happy, and I'm sure a lot of air travelers are happy, because the Pacific Northwest is an area that, Mary, I know you and your colleagues at TIA have had your eyes on Portland for a long time. This is a big win, isn't it?
It's a huge win, and I have to give credit to everyone involved who helped, from the mayor's office in Tucson to our tourism partners and our resorts, as well as members of the business community. We were fortunate to encourage some Alaska representatives to come to Tucson and meet with us about the opportunity about 9 months ago, and they have seen the opportunity. They were overwhelmed by the support and the numbers that we were able to show them that support the demand. And they're very excited about growing their footprint. As you know, they've provided nonstop service to Seattle. And at one time, they did provide service to Portland. So we're glad to have them back, and we're happy to see them growing their footprint. It's a great airline with a great brand.
Yeah, they are a great airline. I enjoy flying Alaska. I like the time. The schedule is good, too. This is pretty much the flight will be a midday departure, and that's good. A lot of people, like myself, don't like to get up real early in the morning to catch a real early flight. So I think the midday is very attractive, don't you?
I do, and that's certainly something we're going to be watching very closely as we start to hear from our community as you know, the news spreads. If that's a workable for the majority, do they like the schedule? Does it meet the needs of the stakeholders that we've engaged with in the community as a whole. And we find that Alaska is really engaged as a partner. We'll be jointly working together on marketing and communications initiatives ongoing to make sure that the flight is a success. And many of our employers have already offered to step up and communicate the new flight through their employee communications, as well as through their advocacy groups, community groups. This is a big win, and we're also very proud that Alaska is our first airline to take advantage of our incentive program.
Yeah, I wanted to talk with you about that actually next, Mary Davis. The Alaska, as you say, the first airline to offer a new destination that qualifies for the Tucson Airport Authority's Air Service Incentive Program. Mary, share with us what that involves. And I know we've talked about it in the past on the program, but this was pretty much marketing incentives. What's included in this, Mary?
Well, this falls under the short-haul destination of our incentive plan. We have short-haul, long-haul, which, of course, would be anything west of the Mississippi or east of the Mississippi, and then Mexico and Canada, any service that we can bring into the market from there. So this falls under the short haul, which offers landing fee waivers for a period of 1 year, and then we offer up to $50,000 in marketing support match for Alaska. This will be a 7-day-a-week flight, so they will qualify for the full marketing match. And so we'll be working with the Alaska marketing team on the outline for the Tucson campaign, and then we supply a reimbursement up to $50,000 for those costs.
Well, it's always good because this can really lead to other things, can it? It's kind of like a good once you get one in the door, it's kind of a seed that hopefully will keep growing. Correct.
This is a huge win also from that perspective. As you know, airlines are constraining their capacity with the mergers and acquisitions and the hub-centric business models. You know, it's very difficult for an airport our size to convince an airline that we're worth the investment. And Alaska is taking that step. And it's up to the community now to support the service. And if we can prove that it's successful, absolutely, it not only could open more opportunities with Alaska, but it can demonstrate to some of the airlines that we meet with continuously that we do have the market that can support new service. If the destination is right, the data is there, and the community understands the expectations as they were able to hear when Alaska came down to meet with us, I think that it, you know my favorite phrase, it takes a village. It takes a village to get the service, but it also takes a village to keep the service. And we just call upon the community, support Alaska, support all of our air service, because this is clearly an example of when we do so, airlines will invest in our community as well.
Well, we want people to use Tucson International Airport because these are local people these are our neighbors who are working at the airport, and it's an economic driver. And speaking of driving, why drive to Phoenix? And Mary, we've talked about this, and I know you always welcome hearing from people. Your door is open. Your email is open. Your phone line is open. You want to hear from people, don't you?
Absolutely. As you know, Bill, airlines can look at the DOT data just like anybody else who's in this industry can do. And, you know, butts and seats tell one story, but the community story is very important. And anything that we can share in terms of industry growth, company demand, and leisure and travel demand, you know, we've gotten a lot of data from Visit Tucson on visitor inquiry surveys that they've done and traveler demand from the leisure side and from the group side. Portland's a huge destination for them as well. So this is just one story that we've been able to successfully share, but it's because we've been able to reach out and connect with our passengers, our customers, and our stakeholders. That's been a huge initiative for the last 2 years for TAA, and it's been very successful. And again, I want to reiterate my thanks to those folks who worked with us in getting the information and meeting with Alaska and stepping up and making that commitment. We just simply couldn't have done this without that kind of effort.
I've only got about a minute left. Dan, caller to the show. Dan, quickly, he wants to talk about L.A. Air Service. Go ahead, Dan.
Sure.
Yeah, I have investments in California, and it's The only way to get to San Diego is with this Southwest cattle car, and I was wondering if you couldn't talk to American Airlines to go from here to San Diego or in L.A. and Frisco on a large plane.
Okay. L.A.'s already serviced by American, but it is a smaller plane. But go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, we have United, Southwest, and American serving the L.A. market. But, Dan, you're absolutely right. We do hear a lot from our passengers that a lot of folks are forced into the LAX airport when really they're looking at more of those Southern California destinations. We have been working with all of our West Coast airline partners trying to shore up our story and show the demand. So I'd really appreciate it if you could connect with me at mdavis@flytucson.com, and we can talk more about your frequency and your business needs.
Okay.
And we can build that into the numbers that we already have.
Mary Davis, thank you very much, and congratulations to all our friends at TIA.
Bill, thank you so much. Thanks for having us on the show.
Thanks a lot. Mary Davis with us on the Buckmaster Show. It's the bottom of the hour. We'll be back after we hear from the fine lineup of people supporting Buckmaster.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon bombings now faces charges in a 30-count indictment, including many charges that carry the possibility of life in prison or a death sentence upon conviction. Ecuador says it's not interested in tariff benefits on hundreds of millions of dollars in trade that are up for renewal by the U.S. Congress. The announcement comes at a time when Ecuador faces U.S. pressure to avoid granting asylum to NSA leaker Edward Snowden. An international campaign to boycott Israel settlements has added a prominent name to its ranks, McDonald's refusing to open a branch in a West Bank Jewish settlement. On Wall Street, the Dow's up about 141 points, the Nasdaq ahead 29. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Well, 34 now on the Buckmaster Show, the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, which offers a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increase business creation and entrepreneurship strength within the region. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated nearly 70 project successes in Southern Arizona, representing 10,300 direct jobs and an overall economic impact of $4.3 billion. For more information, visit TRIO, TREOAZ.org. And joining me on the Buckmaster Show live line, Michael Guyman, TRIO Vice President of Regional Development. Michael's responsible for developing and implementing TRIO's business retention, recruitment, and expansion initiatives. Michael, how are you today?
I am wonderful, Bill, and as always, it is a great pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure as well. We just had Mary Davis, Michael, who you know very well, Senior Marketing Director at Tucson International Airport, sharing what I think is very significant news as airlines across the country have been cutting back. The Wall Street Journal has been articulating that very well, that some cities like Cincinnati have lost actually a third of their air service. So it's good to see Alaska Airline making a commitment with nonstop service up to Portland. This is something I know we've been hoping for and pushing for a long time, correct?
Oh, it absolutely is, Bill. And like Mary said, it really took, to use her terms, a village to make this happen. This, like some other issues that I'm starting to see more and more of, like the RTA, we're really seeing a lot of folks from diverse areas really come together to make stuff like this happen. So kudos to all the business leaders, the organizational leaders, the politicos that really came together for this particular project, meeting with Alaskan Airlines officials to make this happen. So hats off to all of them.
And as I pointed out to Mary, and I think, Michael, you would echo this as well, let's support Tucson. Let's support Tucson International Airport, because the people that work at that airport are our friends and neighbors, and why drive up to Phoenix?
Yes. Couldn't have said it better myself.
All right. What's your latest target list now for economic development, Michael? What industries are you zeroing in on?
Well, they're not too different than what was established in 2006 when the TRIO blueprint was adopted by this region. We still have aerospace and defense. We are still the fifth highest concentration of aerospace and defense employees in the country, and when workforce is the number one reason any company looks to relocate or expand into a region, that makes a huge difference to have that talent specific to that industry here in Tucson. Bioscience is probably our second largest industry. It's an emerging industry here in the Tucson region. We have a number of companies that, and I could go into this in further detail maybe a bit later, but a number of companies that are choosing Tucson to either relocate to or expand to, particularly, Bill, in the arena of diagnostics. And as you may have reported on your show before, we recently came out with the help of Dr. Ray Woosley, formerly of the CPATH Institute, a strategy specific to the diagnostic industry. And what we have here in Tucson, whether it's coming out of the U of A's Bio5 Institute or the companies themselves, an emerging an emerging industry cluster related specifically to the diagnostics cluster. You know, bioscience is a very broad category, as I'm sure you can imagine.
It is, and we're delighted to have Dr. Woosley as part of our team here. He appears now the first Tuesday of the month on the program talking about his fine website, CredibleMeds.com. He'll be on next Tuesday. We'll be talking about pain medication. Give me an overview of the fiscal year, which wraps up here at the end of this week. How would you characterize the year, Michael Guyman?
Actually, the year went quite well. The board gave us various targets. They said number of jobs facilitated, our target is 1,500. The number of jobs in those industries, 600, and the number of qualified prospects, 70. Well, we exceeded all three. The number of jobs we facilitated this year was just under 2,500. The number of jobs in the targeted industries was just under 1,400, and we had 73 prospects. So we met our met our targeted goals, something we're obviously very excited about. And we look forward to working with the board in developing additional strategies to improve those numbers in the future.
What were some of your project successes?
A couple I'd like to really pinpoint. Talk about bioscience. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Accelerate Diagnostics is one of those companies that we successfully relocated to Tucson. It's not easy to relocate a company, just pick them up lock, stock, and barrel and move them to a region. But we were successful in working with the Arizona Commerce Authority, the Pima County, as well as the city of Tucson to really make that deal happen. So Accelerate is certainly something that we're very excited about. I think they've already doubled their projections in terms of employees that they were projected to hire at this point in time. So they are growing by leaps and bounds. Another company that I'd like to mention is Integrated Technologies Group, and this really goes to our strategy of looking at California companies that are expanding but may not, from a financial or a regulatory standpoint, complete that expansion in California. Arizona, on a whole, pretty much provides a 30% to 40% discount. To put it in those terms, when you relocate or expand your company in this region. And Integrated Technologies Group, which is based in Culver City, California, did just that, and they, I believe, have already ramped up to 200 employees here in Tucson.
Well, one thing that's going to help you, and we had Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust on the show yesterday, Michael Guyman, and I was thinking about Trio as you try to sell the area to companies and recruit them. Hank was pointing out that Phoenix does not have right now a place that you can move in that's 100,000 square foot. Tucson has two of them out by the airport. In other words, these are places that a company can move right into where there is this shortage up in Phoenix.
That is correct, Bill. And I think that we have great advantages in that area, but a location will not, it's not the complete picture in terms of why a company will relocate or expand into an area. 99% of the relocation expansions occur based on workforce. Does your community or region have the skills and the talents that we as a company will need to fill those positions? If you have an available space, all the better. But they'll first look to the workforce to make sure that a community will be able to fill those needs.
Yeah, I think you're right. Obviously, if you can't find the workers that you need, it doesn't matter if you do have the space. But if you find the workers and you have the space, then it really becomes a real win-win, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and we've seen that on a number of projects.
Michael, we're going to have to wrap it up here, but what are some of the quick goals that you have now for this new fiscal year?
Bill, it really comes down to workforce. Talked about it a lot during this conversation. But moving forward, we sat down with our board at a retreat last month, and again, it comes down to this issue of supply versus demand. For years, we have, particularly at the university and community college level, we have been pumping out people But what I think we have neglected to do is sit down with those companies and find out the specific skills that they need. And so we're going to be focusing a little bit more on the demand side, sitting down with those employers, working in tandem with the Workforce Investment Board to make this happen, to make this a reality, and figure out what skills are needed, go to the universities and the community college, and make sure that those gaps are addressed.
Thank you. Michael Guymon, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
Michael Guymon, TRIO Vice President of Regional Development. If you would like more information about TRIO, visit TRIO. It's TREOAZ.org.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Excessive heat warning for Tucson this weekend. If you're looking to cool off, may I suggest a quick trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. and the Gila Wilderness. Oh, that's going to be nice. Even when it's so hot here in Tucson, it's at least 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City and only about 3.5 hours east of Tucson. It's an easy drive. Lots to do in historic Silver City and many nice places to stay, including the Little Toad Creek Inn, Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park, and Spirit Canyon Lodge. Please check out their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Joining me in studio, attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates. Mr. Brown and Mr. Luce have offices in Tucson and here up in Phoenix. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, which I have right in front of me, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And Don, I'm so glad to see you this week because really two very, I guess you could use the word landmark decisions from the High Court, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Pretty much, Bill, and it's great to be back. Thanks.
It's good to see you. Let's begin with the situation with, for most Arizona gay couples, I guess the two Supreme Court rulings on same-sex marriage offer really few new benefits, even if they were legally married elsewhere. This primarily, at this point anyway, Don Luce, affects the 12 states where gay marriage is legal, correct?
That's right, Bill. For Arizonans, this ruling really does not have much effect whatsoever because, as your listeners will probably remember, in 2008, Arizona voters passed by a pretty significant margin an amendment to the Arizona Constitution, which defines marriage in Arizona as between one man and one woman. And given that constitutional provision, the Supreme Court's ruling is fairly limited to only federal benefits, which means that if same-sex couples in Arizona are receiving federal benefits or entitled to federal benefits, they may have some. They may realize some change from this ruling, but otherwise, Arizona is not going to recognize a same-sex marriage from another state. If a couple, for instance, is married in California and they move to Arizona and they happen to be the same sex, under Arizona law, they're not going to be considered a married couple. So even though the Supreme Court decision was very significant with respect to DOMA, or the Defense of Marriage Act, on a state-by-state basis, it's it has less significance in those states that have defined by a constitution or by case law or by statute marriage as between a man and a woman.
What do you think the next step will be for the same-sex marriage advocates as far as changing states like Arizona?
Boy, that's the $64,000 question. It was interesting to me that the Supreme Court did not essentially make a ruling on that very issue in the Prop 8 case. Now, in that case, which was titled Hollingsworth versus Perry, the court said essentially, we don't have the authority to consider the question because the parties who brought the case to us don't have standing. And standing is a legal concept, which essentially means you're not qualified or you don't have the authority to bring the case to the court because they said the plaintiff in that case was a private citizen. And the only party that really had standing in that case was the state of California, which had lost that trial. And so the court declined to rule on it. But what I see happening, Bill, is at some point the Supreme Court is going to be presented with a case that is going to address square on the constitutional issue of whether a state can prohibit marriage between same-sex people. And it's not there yet. We don't have that ruling, but I see it coming, and it's probably the logical next step in this progression of cases that the court has decided with respect to gay marriage.
The other big decision, this was also a 5-4 ruling overturning a section of the Voting Rights Act. This has been the Voting Rights Act goes back, this particular section, to 1965, doesn't it?
Right. Arizona and 8 other states have been subject to intense scrutiny for the last several decades when it comes to anything to do with voting or changes to voting or who can vote or how they can vote. And this Voting Rights Act situation finally made its way back to the court. And Justice Roberts, writing for a majority, said the formula that has been used to single out states for what is known as preclearance, and all that means is that before they can implement any change having to do with voting, they have to go to the Department of Justice and say, look, here's what we want to do. Do we have permission to make this change? And the Department of Justice would say yes or no, and then depending on what the Department of Justice said, the change could or couldn't be made. Well, the Supreme Court said those states which had to get preclearance, Arizona being one of them, no longer have to do that. And now any law that goes to voting in Arizona is presumed valid, and if somebody believes that it's not valid, then they are going to have to go to court to have it struck down. They can't now rely on the Department of Justice on a preclearance basis to make that determination. So I guess in a nutshell, Arizona is free from the preclearance standard that existed just last week until this case came out this week. But if a law is discriminatory or it otherwise affects voters' rights, the opponents will still have the ability to go to court after the law is enacted and try to get it struck down after the fact.
Well, it's very significant, and this is something I think it kind of came as – was that sort of a surprise, this ruling?
Well, you know, because the preclearance requirement had been in place for so many years, decades. Yeah, I think it was. And it was also a bit of a surprise to me that the court said, you know, even though previously we found this to be appropriate, now circumstances have changed and we no longer find preclearance to be necessary. I found that kind of interesting, and also a recognition by the court that over time things change. And so what occurred in 1965 or 1966 or even 1970, which might have necessitated this type of preclearance procedure, no longer exists. Now, the Supreme Court did say something else, and they said, look, we're not saying that there's no discrimination with respect to voting. In fact, Chief Justice Roberts said, we still find, you know, we find that there still is discrimination. Mm-hmm. However, we're going to leave it up to Congress to adopt a new standard or formula based on current conditions to determine which states may still have to have their laws reviewed. So it's entirely possible that at some point in the future, Congress could adopt a new formula so that the laws of the states that are subject to that formula still have to have this preclearance or this early review. But for now, that's not the case.
Can Arizona, this is a caller question for you quickly, Don. Can Arizona now require photo ID for voter registration because of this this ruling?
Probably. Arizona cannot demand proof of citizenship. Mm-hmm. But to my knowledge, there's no requirement that they cannot demand a photo ID. Now, this question, like so many others, are going to be subject to judicial review after the fact. So if a citizen feels that his or her voter rights are being unfairly impacted by the requirement, they can still go to court and challenge the law. But what the Supreme Court said in this case was that review is not going to be made before the fact. It has to be made after the law goes into effect.
Don, I've only got about a minute to go, but I know in Arizona Laws 101, your revised edition, second edition, you talk about landlord-tenant relations, and the governor did sign a law making landlords tell the tenants about foreclosures.
That's right. Now, I think what was happening is that tenants who, you know, had signed leases were making their payments in a timely fashion to the landlord, the owner of the property, and then finding out suddenly that the landlord no longer owned the property and they were being evicted by the bank that took it back in foreclosure. And so House Bill 2281, which was signed by the governor and now amends the Arizona Residential Landlord and Tenant Act, requires owners to provide written notice to tenants within 5 business days of receiving a notice of a trustee sale. And a notice of a trustee sale is the first step in a nonjudicial foreclosure process. So if you're renting a property and your landlord gets a notice of trustee sale, he or she has to notify you within 5 business days of that fact.
Don Luce, thank you very much. Don Luce, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Don's other book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books available on Amazon and booksellers all over the place.
Thanks, Bill. It's always fun.
Thank you, Don Luce, with us from Luce Brown and Associates. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a nice, cool bottle of Culligan. Don Luce just enjoying a sip of his Culligan water. We thank Culligan for their support of the show. John C. Scott this afternoon from 3 to 5, then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow from 6 to 8, and of course our Friday Focus interview tomorrow with Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.